So the Expedition model is our best seller. We sold just over 100 units of those.
Wow.
So this year, really strong. They're our personal favorites. Lots of room inside. You got your T-slot tracks on all sides. You can mount lots of stuff to it. Crossbars on the top. We got an awning that it comes with, winter insulation kit, little skylight. And for families, right? A lot more families are getting into it, or they have big dogs. They need their dogs in there with them. So they look at a bigger sleeping footprint, and that puts them into the Mini, which I should probably rename it because it's not so many, or the XL, right? So yeah, those are definitely our two most popular.
Warning. The 4x4 Canada podcast contains discussion about exploring mountains, camping beside lakes, and enjoying the outdoors. Guests also talk about jumping racetracks side by side, racing 1,000 horsepower rigs across mud pits, and jumping monster trucks over stacks of buses. None of this is for the faint of heart. The 4x4 Canada podcast is not responsible for bringing out your inner adrenaline junkie or making you want to get out there and explore the back roads from coast to coast. The 4x4 Canada podcast is not responsible for broken parts due to jumping your vehicle, hitting mud poles too hard, crossing deep streams, and doing other dumb shit. However, we will take credit for inspiring you to explore mountaintops, spend quality time outdoors with your friends, or meeting new like-minded people, and most importantly of all, following your dreams.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at 4x4 Canada Podcast. I'm your host, Trisha.
I'm your other host, Wes.
And I'm Vito from Goverland, Canada.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today, Vito. I'm really looking forward to this and been hearing a lot of great things about your tent, both online as well as firsthand. I got some friends that have your tent and absolutely love them. So super excited to get into it with you. But I do want to ask our listeners to check our Instagram out at 4x4 Canada Podcast and to follow us there. We're usually pretty active on Instagram, and it seems to be our go-to social for community building. If you want to be a guest or want to recommend someone, let us know or at our website at 4x4canadapodcast.com. And we also want to hear any constructive criticism or other input about the podcast. We do this for you, the listener, and we want to know how to improve the podcast. We've had some people reach out to us, and we've taken their comments to heart and working on implementing some of those changes to make the podcast a better listening experience. We love feedback as it's the only way to make us better podcasters and human beings.
So Vito, welcome to our podcast, and folks can check you out at Go Overland at goverland.ca and as well as Go Overland Canada on your Instagram and Facebook.
Yep.
So we've been hearing a lot of wonderful things about your Go Overland roof tents. We want to talk about your tents, but first off, we want to learn about Vito and the Go Overland company.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thank you both for having me. Super excited to be here. And congrats again on your 1 year anniversary. Really cool stuff you put out in the last year and a bit. Some pretty cool interviews, so keep it up. Yeah, so I'm Vito, world traveler, some say. This year I just hit my 50th country. Was trying to do that sooner, but as you know, COVID slowed that down and had to cancel quite a few trips we had planned with my wife.
Yeah.
And we're both just big campers, big outdoors people, as I want to say most Canadians are, most of our friends are. And we're just so excited to have gotten into this business. And we've met a lot of really cool people. We've been chatting with you and so excited to be on today. Mm-hmm. I'm a dad, first and foremost. Got a couple kids, Francesco and Alessandro. They are my why. So my wife and I, we work hard for them, and we're just trying to keep improving ourselves, improving our business, our products, and just growing the community.
That's awesome.
I could see Trisha's head kind of explode when he said 50 countries.
Yeah.
She's a traveler. She loves traveling all around the world. So
yeah,
let's go back to that. I love the fact, you know, about the dad and building the community as well. But you've been traveling for a while then, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. You know what? I started my solo travels when I was 18. So my first trip was, when I was 18, I was to Barbados, and then Cuba shortly after. It's like hot destinations. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I went to Honduras. That's where my mother's from. I went to Italy, where my dad's from. But as I got older and started, you know, saving up, making money, I said, I want to have experiences. I want to spend my money on experiences, right? So really any chance I got, I was out and booking a new place. And I have some pretty cool stories on places I've been, on things I've seen. And it's really shaped who I've become and now who my kids are becoming. I just did a count. My youngest that's turning 3 has been to 7 countries already. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So by force, he's coming with us. We take well, let's see if he keeps that travel bug as well.
Yeah.
That is so great. Cool. So what's your latest country that you've been to?
Yeah, we just got back 2 days ago from Curaçao.
Where's that?
Curaçao is just north of Venezuela. It's okay. Right next to Aruba, which we were in a week before that. So we did that for a week, and then we took a little 16-passenger plane to Curaçao, and that was an experience in itself. My wife was there, like, he's like, this plane land, and we were obviously okay, but it was a bit sketchy with 2 kids. Like, that plane was, it was tiny, no AC, and yeah, it was a good time.
That's wonderful. And is it mostly been the hot weather stuff, or you've been doing over into Europe and Africa or stuff like that as well, too?
Yeah. So I lived in Europe for a bit. When I was there, I was in Austria. I was based there. And I ended up doing like as much as I could, like Slovakia, Slovenia, Croatia, Switzerland, Germany, Holland, France, Spain, Portugal, all those. The list goes on. So, but I was based there. So it was much easier. Once you're there, you hop on a train, a flight. Yeah. Sometimes, if you know, the flights are cheaper than the train.
Yeah.
Right. So like some hacks, you just got to check them all out. Then I lived in China after graduating university. So when I was in China, I did the Indonesia, Philippines, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, all of those as well, Japan, South Korea. So I've hit those. You said Africa. I haven't hit Africa yet. That's that's next for sure.
That's next.
Yeah.
So as a world traveler, I assume that you've picked up a lot of languages in traveling, and you obviously probably not an expert at them, but what have you learned? Are you fairly strong in some of the basic ones or?
Yeah, for sure. So when I lived in China, I was about an hour from Shanghai, right? And I lived in a city, small city of 10 million people for China. Small. There wasn't a lot of English at all there. So I had to pick up basic Mandarin. So like ordering, how much is this? How much is that? My name is this. So that I picked up when I was, and I still maintain a little bit, very, very small stuff. And then when I was in Austria, it was the same. I was in a small town, 2.5 hours from Vienna called Linz. Had to learn German, to get by. Not fluent, but, you know, just enough to get by. Mm-hmm. My wife's Mexican, so a lot of Spanish in the house. My mother's from Honduras, Spanish there too. I am not fluent, but I can speak a bit as well, so... Yeah, survival. It's like a lot of the languages I pick up are just survival, just enough to get
by. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fluent in English and redneck. How about you, Tricia?
Yeah, just English. I can understand some Spanish, but can speak a little bit, but that's about it. And, you know, French? No, not really. But
it was funny with French. Growing up in BC, I never thought I would ever need French, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is stupid to take French until grade 10 or 12 or whatever we had to. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And I barely scraped through. And then when I moved to Toronto, I ended up having to do a lot with people in Quebec and Newfoundland and Labrador. There was a lot of French over there too, right? So I actually went back to a university to get some basic French courses at night. And so I got pretty good at the French, and I actually got pretty good with the Italian because my girlfriend's parents were fresh off, or, you know, first generation, right? So so I picked up a lot of mixed Italian, which is probably like a lot of languages where they speak half Italian and half English, but in the same word. It wasn't a fridge, it was a fridge and stuff like that, right? But I found that I actually ended up really liking a lot of languages, and I took some more courses in other languages, but I think that's something that if you learn a language, you know, you can pick it back up easily enough 5 years later, right? So you've done all this traveling and you've been all over the world, and I'm sure you got tons of stories about that, but let's go back into the go overland world.
Yep.
Did you just wake up one day and decide to start a rooftop tent company?
You get asked that question a lot. Like, whoa, like what? Some people don't even realize that I started that business. And It's a bit of a story. I'll try to keep it short. So my wife and I, we both graduated with a Bachelor of Commerce in Global Management. Big passion for travel, big passion for camping, outdoors. And we always said, you know what, we should start a business. We were working in corporate. I was in finance. She was in like the startup world, reviewing business plans every day, sending loans to entrepreneurs. So we both had really good experience that could really just help if we found the right business to start something. We didn't know what it would be. We had a couple of key trips that were really impactful for us. One was Iceland. So we camped around Iceland every night for a couple of weeks. Saw the Northern Lights. You know, we cooked out of it was a van life, right? Cooked out of the van. We hiked. It was incredible. And then we did another 4x4 trip to a Hawaiian island called Kauai. If you guys haven't been there, like, check it out. Beautiful hikes, great off-roading there, and like to get to the secret beach and some really secluded areas. And we camped around the island. We're like, man, this is super cool. So we ended up booking a trip to Australia, 4x4. We started planning out the route, you know, reading the blogs, figuring out where to go, what to do. We were going to do that one with a rooftop tent. And COVID hit. I'm like, fuck, we were so, sorry for the swearing. We were so excited about that trip. And now COVID's here, right? So what we ended up doing, we're like, you know what? Let's do it here, right? Let's buy a Jeep. Let's buy a 4x4 and let's kit it out. Let's do a trip here and start getting more and more into this overlanding, right? This new thing to us. We've always been into camping and portaging backcountry, but the whole overlanding world was newer to us and we absolutely loved it. So bought the Jeep, started kitting it out with the fridge, with our camping chairs, our hammocks, everything that you would need to do your trip. And the last piece was the rooftop tent. So we were doing lots of research. We said we want a hard shell. Soft shell, cheap. It's a good way to get in. But based on what I'm reading, it, you know, takes quite a bit of time. It might not last as long. So we're like, hard shell. Saw great, really good brands. We looked at some beautiful iCampers, right? The CVTs, the Alucaps, beautiful brands, but our budget wasn't quite there. We're like, it's a bit steep. And then we found all these guys selling tents out of their garage for cash, right? Cash only, pick it up. Don't look at me. This is yours. No quality guarantee, anything, right? It's just a cash purchase, no history, no reviews. And then we're like, you know what? There's got to be something between. And we just had a really hard time finding a hard shell manufacturer between those two extremes, right? The really good established brands that are making great products, and then these guys that are selling them out of their garage. So that's where it really all started, just from that initial research that we were trying to do. And then slowly but surely, we pulled my connections from China, living there, and my wife, a Mexican, manufacturers there, had some prototypes made. And long process, a lot of trial and error, but we always said, if we're going to fail, let's fail fast and move on, right? If this product doesn't work, let's make the next one. Yep. And thankfully, we stuck to that. And to this day, we've made things that didn't work out. We shut them down and we keep going on to the next thing, right? So that's really helped us.
So over COVID, you kind of built this company. And it's interesting how many companies have gone under during COVID and how many companies have actually started during COVID.
Yeah.
I've been really surprised on how many have started during COVID.
It's been a very big tailwind for us, right? It was good timing. And the funny thing is, Wes and Trish, for me and my wife, were like, COVID's kind of behind us, right? And entering 2023, we're like, what are our sales going to look like, right? People are going back out into the world. And we did understand that overlanding was always around, but it grew more during COVID, right? People are like, let's explore our backyard more. So we were really interested to see that. But surprisingly, we just keep growing and the community keeps growing. And we love to see that it wasn't just a phase. People are in it and it's getting bigger and bigger. And there's still so much that we can do.
Definitely.
It's truly growing. Like you're saying, from COVID, like just seeing the growth of rigs and social media and this person and that person and, you know, companies from the States and companies from Canada. And it's like, gets overwhelming sometimes and you're looking, cause I'm like, I need this gear and I want this and I want that. And I want, like, hey, wallet to the product. But yeah, it's just growing and it's amazing. It's amazing. I love the communities. That's awesome. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your rooftop tents.
Yeah.
You've got like eight or so different tents. Yeah. Which is your most popular one?
Yeah.
Or does that really depend on vehicles that the people are using?
Just from strictly sales number, it's the Expedition XL, followed by the Expedition Mini. So the Expedition model is our best seller. We sold just over 100 units of those.
Wow.
So this year, really strong. They're our personal favorites. Lots of room inside. You got your T-slot tracks on all sides. You can mount lots of stuff to it. Crossbars on the top. We got an awning that it comes with, winter insulation kit, little skylight. And for families, right? A lot more families are getting into it, or they have big dogs. They need their dogs in there with them. So they look at a bigger sleeping footprint, and that puts them into the Mini, which I should probably rename it because it's not so many, or the XL, right? So yeah, those are definitely our two most popular. And the Trek, which is a newer model, our lightweight one, has been extremely popular as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's hop into that Trek. I know that's your basic hard shell tent, but most of them are fairly heavy. Whereas the Trek, you've gone to a lighter one and it's not quite as tall. I mean, you're only what, 4 inches tall when it's closed, and you're sitting at around 85 pounds.
Yeah.
The only disadvantage I can really see on it is that you can't keep your sleeping gear in there because you got to keep that height down. But having said that, the lightweight and the low height is also very handy too when you're talking underground parking or whatever, right? So the Trek tent that you guys have, your lightweight version, can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, of course, Wes. So the tent's actually not hard shell. Looks hard shell. It's like a PVC. Our manufacturer likes to call it marine strength PVC. So just if you think of a tonneau cover, it's a very nice, firm topper, right? It's still waterproof. Still, you can use it in the winter. Although we don't really rate it for four season, we don't have the winter insulation kit. Mm-hmm. And it's just our other tents are honeycomb aluminum, nice 18 millimeters thick. So you're getting a lot more like heat retention when you have that insulation in there. But anyways, back to the Trek. So that tent, yeah, one of the disadvantages is you can't really keep a lot of gear in there when it's closed. The big advantage is, has been a lot of these guys that are going wheeling, right? They don't want a lot of weight on top of their vehicle.
Yeah,
they have 6 inches to play with so that they can still park in their garage or go to the underground where if their rig is their daily. So we found a really good market for that. And to be quite frank, the Trek was born from the community and our clients asking us for 2 years, like, guys, can you make a lightweight tent? Like, check these out. Like, look at some other examples. You guys need to put out a tent. So we were manufacturing all these other versions, right? So we looked into it, obviously it took some time, and we were really excited to put it out this year, and it's done really well. We're already working on our 2.0 with some like better rain flies, some additional things that we like to include with our tents as well. But I've slept in all of our tents. The Trek is awesome. For a family, definitely not. It's smaller. For a family, you're going to want to be looking at like one of the Expeditions or potentially the Voyage. But it's really good depending on what the specific person's looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that Trisha and I have been talking about, you know, tents. I do have a rooftop tent, but she doesn't. And she's sort of fairly new to the overland market. And we've been talking off air and on air about tents. And when I saw this one, I actually thought of you, Trisha, because it's not very tall.
Yeah.
And so maybe help with your underground parking and also help with the fuel mileage, because we know Jeeps are not the greatest at fuel mileage, but also it's only 85 pounds. So it's something that you can put on the Jeep and not have too much sway back and forth. Easier to put on and off, right?
So exactly. Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was kind of thinking about you, Trisha. I know that this podcast has cost you a lot of money.
Yep.
So there's been lots of things that Trisha has found out about or seen because of the podcast. And she's like, oh, I need that. I need this.
I need to buy this. I'm going to this event. I'm buying this. Yeah. But yeah, definitely like, because yes, Russ, you're right. Like just talking about rooftop tents and looking at many, I think that's a nice option. I think that's a nice option for people who else are like you said, Vito, like wheeling with their tents. Yeah. And it's so light. You can wheel and then go to your site and you're get all set up. And you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, it's the only tent I can install by myself without any machines. So I have tried all of them and I have failed with all of the Trek. I've almost crushed my vehicle doing it. I've almost crushed my wife. But the trek is light enough at 85 pounds.
Yeah.
If you're kind of in shape and exercising, you can really lift it up.
Right.
And then as long as you have the height, depending on how much of a lift your vehicle has and the type. But that's always fun. I can just throw it on. If I want to take it off the next weekend, I could take it off. I don't want to run a rooftop tent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. So let's talk about your more popular ones, the Expedition XL and the Mini. Looking at those tents, what sort of sets those apart from, say, some of the competition?
Yeah. I don't like to talk about the competition very much.
Yeah, I don't want to, put down the competition, but what features and benefits do your tents have?
Absolutely.
Reword it that way.
Okay. No, that's great. I mean, it's always good to have competition, right? There should be a lot of different models of tents. There should be a lot of different brands to choose from because everyone's different. Everyone has different needs. But our Expedition, let's talk about the Mini. The Mini has been very popular because if you got a 6-foot bed, it doesn't overhang from the back. So you got a lot of these guys with the pickup trucks and gals with pickup trucks that love this tent because it opens up. It has a nice footprint. It's almost 7 feet long when it's open in terms of sleeping area. So me at 6'3", I'm in there all day, right? Versus a clamshell, it has the length requirement, but when your feet are really at the bottom and you're over 6'1", it's getting tight, right? So we also, our tents versus maybe some others, we like to use aluminum, right? So honeycomb aluminum, top and bottom. So you can have a bit more durability if you're off-roading or if you accidentally, bump it, scratch it. You're not going to worry about it cracking and whatnot. And really, I think what sets us apart too, what we've been trying to do is just include as much as we can in the price, right? So LED light strip with different functions, winter liner. Sure, not everyone's going to go camping, but in the winter, but in the fall, it also gets cold, right? Mm-hmm. I was just on Crownland a few months ago with BK Overland. They ran a little thing. It was a great time. It was freezing, and it was I think it was June or something. It dropped that night, and all of us, there were quite a few of us, I want to say 6 or 7 had Go Overland Canada tents there, and none of us brought the winter liner. We didn't bring our good sleeping bags for one, right? That always helps. We didn't have our liner, so we just like to include as much as you could possibly need for your tent. So shoe bag, you have accessory pockets on the inside, you have your crossbars, obviously your ladder mattress, anti-condensation mat. We don't want you to have to go out and spend a bunch more money after you've already dished out $3,000 on a tent, for example. So I want to say that's one thing that we don't see many doing at all. Maybe that'll change soon, but that's something that we're very happy to provide our clients.
I love it. I love that it has the winter. So I've actually checked out some of your tents at the Overland North event. And I got in a couple of them. And the one thing I really liked was the skylight.
Yes.
Because I love that. I think just camping and just being outdoors and then have that option be like, hey, I can watch stars or I can wake up to a nice morning sun. And also the winter insulation because I freeze. Yes. And you're right. Camping, regardless, in Ontario or going up north, it gets cold at night. And having that option just be I can insulate, I can be warm. I don't have to worry about bringing 3 comforters. It's just, it's there and it's available. And I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the fact you guys are including that winter care kit, the winter insulation kit is a big deal. I do have a tree lined soft tent and I've got to purchase a winter insulation, right? Because I do plan on camping in the winter with it. And it's just an added expense. So the fact that you guys are including a lot of these options in your tents, that's just a money saver right there. As you mentioned, the Expedition tents are a flip to the side tent, and then your Journey is a tilt, I guess, or however you want to call it. To me personally, and I guess there's different people, right? But you mentioned about the length or being able to sleep in the Journey style where they're a flip up kind of idea. To me, it seems that the Expedition style where it flips to the side makes a lot more sense because there seems to be that much more room in the tent itself.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a big part of it. I mean, when you think about camping and what you're going to be doing when you're out there and when you're overlanding too, it's like, who are you Like, who's sleeping in your tent? Is it just you? Is it you and a dog? Is it you and a couple of kids, you and your partner? So that makes a big difference. Because if you ask me what's my favorite tent right now at this current stage of my life with two kids, it's an Expedition or a Voyage. It's got the space, right? But if I'm out wheeling with my buddies, I'm by myself, it's something that's faster to set up. It's probably it's a wedge style, right? It's quick. Yeah. It's 30 seconds up, but it's just me in there, right? I'm not cuddling in with anybody. I'm good like that. So really, a lot of preference goes into when people ask us, what do you recommend, right? I got to ask them, okay, what are you using it for? What kind of vehicle are you running? Do you have limitations on how high you can go because of garage, right? Are you planning on using this year round, or is this something you're going to use a couple times a year, right? You might want to look into our Trek sort of entry level model, lightweight model there. So a lot of different benefits that certain models have over others, but I think it's all preference and like what the individual is looking for.
Yeah, definitely. The wedge style, I think, you know, like you say, it is quick and easy, but you know, again, there's not as much room inside. So I like to get changed inside because I don't have an annex, right? So yeah. Getting changed in a wedge style tent can be a little more difficult, I think, right? So
yeah, I've done it.
But luckily the guys I camp with don't mind seeing me at 6 o'clock in the morning in my underwear trying to get changed, right? But otherwise it's, you know, up inside, and that could be a little more difficult with the wedge style for sure. Mm-hmm. So with that Expedition tent, you got a wicked little awning set up on there. And it's hard to explain for me. So maybe if you can explain it to our listeners what that's about. And obviously, you know, people go to gooverland.ca to see what we're talking about, because I think it might be a little hard to explain.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the awning that we include with the Expedition models, what it is at the entrance of the Expedition model, we just have a zipper there, right? And that zipper can be used for the awning that's included in your purchase. So all you got to do is zip it in and stretch it out. We include a couple of poles, some rope, some pegs, and a hammer. Pull that thing out and you're getting an additional 8 by 8 feet of sun coverage, rain coverage. And it's just that extra peace of mind. If you want to set up a little table down there, or it's raining and you want to come down and use a washroom, something like that. Mm. So it's just a nice, it's been very popular. Not everyone uses it, but we do include it for those hotter days, for the rain. And then that same zipper track that we have included there, this year we put out annexes. Again, everybody was asking us, guys, you got to make annexes for these tents. So I made the annexes, uses that same zipper receiving ends there. And a little sneak peek, we have those zippers on a few of our models that we've put out. So we're planning on next year adding some additional features, to some tents that have that zipper. So if you're looking for an annex room, right, if you need that extra space below, we'll have that option as well.
That's one nice thing about the annex is having that extra space for sure, right? Because, I mean, rooftop tents are small. No matter what size you go with and what brand you go with, rooftop tents are still small. And having that extra little bit of room in there definitely makes a huge difference. You know, I've got an awning and it's been a lifesaver for bad weather and that, right? Speaking a little bit off the topic, is awnings, like separate awnings, is that something you guys are going to get into as well too? Or are you sticking mostly with just tents that have the attachments to go with your tents?
Yeah. So to go back on my point of fail fast, we tried, we made some awnings. We put out a couple of awnings in 2021. I want to say I made 50 or so awnings, just the straight out ones, basically, to get into it, get our toes wet a little bit. They were pretty solid, but I guess where we failed, I want to say, is like the shipping. The shipping rates were just out of control. We lost money on every single awning we sold. The price, we had the price set wrong. It just didn't work out. We made a few more prototypes this year. We had quite a few of our clients asking for bat wings, asking for 180s. Made a couple of prototypes. We have a couple of Ontario friends that are running them, that are testing them out. Definitely need some tweaking. But next year, we hope to get to a point where we're confident to put it out. And the other thing with this industry, there are brands that are doing awnings very well, right? But guys, I want my Go Overland tent to match my awning, And you put out an awning, right? So it's like, okay, I guess I see where they're coming from. So, you know, let's make some awnings so that they can have the matching set, right? It's like, you're wearing Nike, you want your Nike shirt, shoes. So we get that. This is something else that's been sort of the clients and the community have been asking us for. So we're working on it. We're very close. But again, yeah, there's still lots of folks that make really good awnings, and we're always happy to recommend when they ask us, like, what should I do for awning? Here are some brands you should check out.
So your Expedition one, the one that folds to the side, is there differences in the way you can mount it from the driver's side or the passenger side? Like, it's just, I guess you just swap it around the way that you need it, right?
Great question. Yeah. We get that question a lot. Like, which way do I need to mount it? Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you can mount it any way, but the main question is, are you running a batwing awning? What are you running on one side? Just mount it so it opens the other way.
I've
seen that before, where clients sent us an email with a silly picture, like, just installed my tent, forgot that I have this whole setup here. And I open it like this and I can't use it. So I got to uninstall it and flip it around. So it's a great question that sometimes people forget about.
Do you notice people doing one side more than the other?
Yeah. I want to say it's definitely more one-sided based on batwing. I currently don't have a batwing, but correct me if I'm wrong. If you guys, either you have a batwing, batwings usually is a driver's side to the back.
So you can order them both ways, I think. Gotcha. So,
I want to say more and more people are getting into batwing awnings. I mean, they're not cheap, but it's a great feature, right?
It'll be my next way to go for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. They're fantastic. I'm right now running a Bronco, and the Bronco, I have the OEM crossbars installed on there, and the crossbar rack system doesn't allow me to mount anything to the side of it. So I gotta get into a better rack system so that I can actually put a proper awning on it.
But
batwing is going to be next for me as well.
Have you noticed people with or without an awning, have you noticed them putting the door particularly mostly on the driver's side or the passenger side?
Well, I want to say driver's side is what I see a bit more.
I've done both ways. You know, I've had a different couple tents over the years, and currently I'm passenger side because I put my straight out awning onto the driver's side.
Exactly.
And then I can put my folding table underneath the awning, and I've got my fridge behind my driver's side seat. So that's how it works for me. That's my thought process on it. But I see a lot of people going to the driver's side, and I think there's no right or wrong. You know, it depends on what you are doing with it and what your situation is, right? So now, speaking of that, your wedge style tents, like the Journey, they come with a ladder that you can put. It doesn't come with a ladder already attached to it. The tent, right? So you can put it front, or you can put it rear, you can put it on the left side, right side, whichever your preference is that day of the week, because you have entrances from both sides as well as the rear. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Yeah. Journey, Summit, Roamer, Trek all have the three options. Now, the other thing too, it's, you can enter however you want there. Sounds funny. It's essentially the ladder just hooks on, right, to these mounts that are installed on the T-slot channels there. But say you want to run something else and you have a Journey tent, you can just take those off and put something else on. As long as you have one entrance, you're good to go. Rear, I want to say, isn't as popular. Yeah. Trunk, right? We usually use our trunk. So it's an option for some that aren't using, but I want to say the vast majority are usually using the ladder on driver passenger side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is the nice part about that wedge style, you know, is that you can use either side, right? So, it just shows that there's pros and cons for everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Do all your tents come with a anti-condensation mat?
All but the Voyage. The reason that, so the Voyage is our latest tent. Yeah. So we call it a hybrid tent. Mm-hmm. When it's closed, it has a honeycomb aluminum top and bottom. When you open it up, it's all canvas, right? It's got a couple of skylights, really nice views all the way around. It's actually what I'm running and what I'll be camping in next week with the fam. That one doesn't, just because the airflow and the fact that it's all canvas, we actually haven't had any condensation at all running that one. So we haven't included it. I don't think that was a bad decision just because a lot of people said, oh, it doesn't have an anti-condensation mat. We're like, hey, we replied to our clients that kind of were surprised it didn't have one. I said, when you go camping, just send me an email. If you have any condensation at all, let me know. I will send you an anti-condensation mat. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, you're totally right. No condensation. So right now, that's the only one that doesn't. All the others do have. And as you guys know, if you're running a rooftop tent, really depends on the weather, like and how cold it is, how many people are in there, are you sweating? But the condensation is a hard thing to escape. You can minimize as much as possible with things like anti-condensation mats, but I always recommend having a little crack in the window definitely helps as well.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Now, let's talk about that Voyage one, because it is kind of like you say, a hybrid, and it folds out like a lot of your soft cover tents do as well. And therefore you get more real estate on that. So that is an excellent option. I mean, the Expedition folds to the side and the others are the Journey is a wedge style, and this new Voyage one you have folds out. So you actually have a few feet hanging over the edge of the vehicle and just gives you a little bit of extra room. Right. So what can you tell us more about that new Voyage style for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Voyage is another popular one for people with 6 foot beds, right? Mm-hmm. So you won't have any overhang. If you don't want it to overhang, you can throw this right on the back. It's the same footprint as the Expedition Mini. So if you go over to our Instagram, you'll see a few tags with clients with the Voyage. We have two clients that have cross treks that have been tagging us there, and then a couple with the 6 foot beds, and it's an awesome tent. For the size when it's closed, for the size when it opens up, right? You get more real estate due to the folding. And then lastly, I've tried to lift it up myself. I think I put a video out. I wasn't able to put it up onto the vehicle. It's 110, 115 pounds. So it's also quite light versus some of our other models that go up to 175 pounds. So that's another benefit of that model, that if you don't want as much weight, if you don't need a hard shell all the time, yes, it's a hard shell when it's closed, so you can run it all year, not worried. But you also have, it's a bit cheaper of a price point than the Expedition Mini, right? You're saving a few hundred bucks there. And we're going to be putting out some new accessories for that next year too. So it's a cool one. Definitely listeners should check that one out.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. I had a good look at it, and I see that's probably your green Bronco that's in the pictures. So that pretty much covers most of them. What about the Roamer?
Yes.
I see the Roamer on the website.
Yes. So the Roamer is very similar to our Journey and similar to the Summit as well. The main difference with the Roamer is at the base of that wedge, it comes up a little bit. So when we spoke about being taller and sort of lacking that foot room on the wedge style tents, that was the answer to that question. Like, hey, I'm taller, but I want a clamshell. What do you recommend I go into? So it was that. If I go in there, my feet are touching, gives me a bit more room. And also at the foot, we have a little window that you can open for additional airflow as well. Yeah, also helping with just keeping cool or condensation, whatnot. Small little spy window if you want. But yeah, that's a good one. But to be frank, we have 9 rooftop tent models right now. And sometimes we feel like it's too many. Yeah. I'm too excited. I'm like, let's do this. People have been asking about this. Let's make this. So we are considering consolidating. We have our Expedition will always be there. Our lightweight Trek will always be there. The hybrid. But we have a few two-person tents that have the exact same shell size, the exact same inclusions, and exact same mattress. So that's Journey X, Roamer, Odyssey, Explorer X, and Summit. That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
So
I was thinking the same thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. We're not shy. We will say it. We're always transparent. So we haven't decided what we'll be consolidating down. Like the Explorer has been very popular. That's a pop-up. Even though it's not my favorite, being 6'3", I have limited space when I'm sitting in there. It doesn't open as high. People love it, right? You got more sort of consistent headroom there. The Odyssey is very similar, in my opinion, to the Expedition models, but also sells very well. So we're just trying to figure out if we drop a model or two, what that will be.
Yeah.
But that's a tough decision that we got to make for next year.
Yeah, and I totally get that for sure. Now, going back actually to the roamer, it looks like there's a, you know, at the back of the vehicle, you have the rods coming out for the flap at the top. And that roamer seems to offer that the tarp or whatever you want to call it, the canvas, seems to cover a bit more than a lot of the standard.
Yes. Ones. Yeah, that's also something that's very popular with that one. So fun fact, or a little sneak peek, what we're also considering doing is taking the best of kind of the Summit, Journey, and Roamer, which are all clamshell style, and just marrying them potentially into one tent, right? So like that Rainfly that you just discussed, that's a lot more coverage than you get with the Journey. The Journey, you just get the back. But as we mentioned, not a lot of people are entering from the back. They're doing the side, so they need that rain coverage on the side. So so that's something that we can easily do with our manufacturer, right? Have additional coverage on the sides. Potentially, if we found that the clientele's really wanted, you know, I'm over 6 feet, I like that bottom piece coming up, we can add that as well. So it's a lot of moving pieces and things we need to kind of finalize ASAP. But that Rainfly on the roamer is pretty wicked. It's my favorite of the three there.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I love the hard shells, and that's definitely where I'm going to be going with my next tent. I do have a soft shell, like I say, a tree line, and they're great company. Well, another great Canadian company. Yeah. And it's just a hard shell, like your tents from Go Overland, are a lot easier to up and down, as he's mentioned, right? So going with the hard shell, you did mention something about rack or options to put racks on there. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Yeah. So all tents other than our Trek come with the racks to the top of the tent. The funny thing is, some people get their tent, they'll fire us off an email like, hey guys, hey team, I got my tent, but there's no racks for my car. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, miscommunication. The racks for the top of the tent it comes with two crossbars for the top of the tent. So that's something we've been trying to, on our website, like FAQs, website description, that we've been trying to be crystal clear on, because as you guys know, what vehicle are you running? Is it a truck? Is it an SUV? Is it a sedan? There's so many different rack options, but for most of our tents, we include the crossbars for the top, listeners, which you can, most people just throw their running boards on there. Some of our clients do solar. We have a few that do canoes, kayaks, bikes. So you can do quite a bit, but I would say the most popular is just throwing the traction boards up there.
Right. Yeah. No, that's something for myself because I do a lot of kayaking, and that's one of the main reasons for going out. So it would definitely have to have that option of being able to carry the kayaks up there, right? So let's talk about the mattress. What are you guys doing with your mattress?
Yeah, so the mattress, it's a memory foam. It's a 2-inch. It doesn't sound like much when I say it, right? But one thing that's been newer to us is trade shows, right? So we're mainly a direct-to-consumer online business. Spending $2,000-$3,500 is a lot without seeing a product. So having gone to these trade shows, you know, every few weeks we're at a trade show with our products, it's really helped people climb in and then sit in the tent and say, oh, this is way better than I thought, right? I thought I would need to add or replace a mattress. But to be frank, for me, mattress is great like that. My wife, different sleeper. Sometimes she's like, oh, you know, I could use another like sleeping pad on top, but that's an easy thing. You can just add your sleeping pad on your, that you have for your regular ground camping. But I want to say 90% of our clients are good with the mattress that's included. I feel like it's just the right level of firmness where you're not feeling that aluminum on the bottom, and it's quite comfortable. I mean, you're really leveling up your sleeping when you're doing a ground versus a ground tent, or you're doing a backcountry where you're packing everything into your back. We sometimes laugh. It feels like we're glamping in this rooftop tent with our skylight and little lights here. It just feels like a luxury experience when you're sleeping. So,
well, just all those little additions, though, too, right? I mean, you mentioned the lights, and that's something that most tents don't come with. Or a lot of them don't come with, right? So just those little extras. And I know that having different rooftop tents over the years, that mattresses can be an issue. But from what I have heard, not just from you tonight, but other people that have the Go Overland tents, is that they are a comfortable mattress in them. And that's why I wanted to mention that, because it's something I have heard from friends that have it, and they say, you know, you don't have to worry about it. Or worst case scenario, put a little sleeping pad on as exactly. well. But because, like you say, everybody does sleep differently and that as well too. So, but yeah, that is one thing I have heard from a number of people, that it is comfortable. So,
yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for highlighting that or asking me about it. Always happy to share.
I guess our next question was about your pressurized water system. And then you have that, plus you have a side addition where you can actually have a shower awning.
Yeah. Like a little privacy room.
I think that's privacy room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely tell you about those as I pop over to my website. We're sold out on everything there. But so, again, both of these are from the clients asking us, guys, you got to put something out. Tried it. So the pressurized camping shower, it's great. What I want to say to our listeners is it really depends on your setup, right? A lot of vehicles really don't have a place to put this thing, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we notice a lot of truckers, people running trucks that have like maybe a bed rack that can you can mount on the side of the panel there,
right?
Are running these things. I haven't figured out a way to mount it on my Bronco, going back to the rack situation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the product itself is really good. I just want to say that it's limiting. Not everybody that buys a tent is going to need this. Maybe right. 1 in 50 people that are buying the tents are getting into a system like this. But what's nice about it is you pressurize it, so you can run a shower. It's black, it's aluminum, so it really heats up. So the water, you can have a nice little, as you're out in the sun, you can have a nice little warm shower, rinse your gear. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, we have two hoses. So one for a little shower and another washing dishes, right? Washing your hands there. 7 gallons, I think, is what we have in there. So
okay.
Lots of water depending on how long you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we have our little privacy room, which matches with, you know, our rooftop tent canvases. So people love having that matching piece. So we will be making more of those. It was our first run at them, so we will be mm-hmm. adding a couple things to improve and tweak it a bit just from the feedback we've received. But overall, it's a pretty simple mechanism, the shower room. A lot of people are putting it out. A lot of brands are putting it out, I should say.
Yeah.
But again, it was that Nike thing that I mentioned. Like, people want the matching Go Overland or the match. If they're running mm-hmm. another brand, they want it all matching. So yeah. I respect that. And yeah, we're just trying to give the people what they want.
Sounds yeah, it's cheap, good but... for Wes when he wants to change also.
Exactly. A little change room for me, right?
So. A little change room, yeah. But that's what it is, right? If you're wheeling, if you're camping and you're with a group of people, it's another addition to have, right?
Yeah.
Extra room, and then you can just go shower, have a privacy room. It's great.
Absolutely. And you're right. A lot of people don't necessarily need something because they go for a weekend. So they leave Friday night and they come back Sunday afternoon. But if you're heading out for, 4 or 5 days, it's nice to have a shower in there at least once, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
Instead of doing it in the middle of the river. And
absolutely.
I mean, we've all done it, but it's So let's talk about Go Overland. You're truly Go Overland Canada. You're truly Canada. So you do have a warehouse in BC, right? And you also have available for pickup in Ontario and Quebec as well. Is that what I saw on the website?
Yeah, you can pick up Ontario, Quebec, and Calgary now.
Okay.
What I will mention, showroom-wise, we have a showroom in Vancouver. Showrooms come in 2024, Calgary and Toronto, which you'll also be able to pick up. But being a direct-to-consumer online business and being able to kind of keep prices low, we got to keep the business as lean as possible. So we don't currently have our own space, potentially one day, but I think there are a lot of companies that are doing really good things with their space. Red Bear Outdoors is a great example for Toronto. Like, I think they're the go-to for like, you want to kit out your whole vehicle, you go there, right?
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is we're trying to just provide an affordable option, a good product that we can ship right to your door, not just to a shipping depot that you got to pick it up at. You get a call, hey, can we deliver this thing on Friday? And the carrier will deliver it on Friday with a tailgate, put it in your garage and you're good to go there. So that's what we're trying to do. But we do understand a lot of people like to go and pick up a tent, like to see it. So we are sort of expanding our offerings with these little showrooms that will help with that.
Yeah, for sure. And because I totally get that, spending $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on something and not seeing it.
Yeah.
I have issues with that myself. Absolutely. So I totally get that because, you know, if I'm spending that kind of money, I want to be able to touch and feel it and be all happy with it. Right. So right. I totally get that for sure. Now, yeah. You mentioned shipping, and I believe that I saw on your website that your prices include shipping.
Yes, they do, which has been something that people love. It's also been something that is scary at times with inflation and and running a small business. You know, we get our invoices from our shipping partners and they have increased year over year over year. So yeah. Mm-hmm. We're happy to keep including the shipping there, but we always have to just stay super dialed on like, how do we keep the business lean? How do we continue to be profitable so we can grow and keep putting out, you know, great products for the clients? And I would say shipping is probably one of the most challenging aspects of of rooftop tents, their size, their weight. Yeah, it's a lot, but so far we're going to keep including that shipping as long as we can. That's something that really was different with what we were doing at the beginning, to include that all inclusive with the add-ons, the shipping and whatnot.
Yeah, it goes back to that whole including the winter package, including the lights, including shipping. It's all, like, say, one and done, right? So, and I totally get where you're coming from. I work in purchasing as my full-time job, and, you know, freight prices have gone up to sometimes up to 20% over the last year or more. And aluminum price doubled a little while ago, and it doubled a couple of years ago. And so I totally get that. It's tough, and it, you know, you got to keep your business lean in these days. So, you know, hats off to you, because it's not an easy thing for sure.
So can you give us a little sneak peek or tell us what you're gearing up for 2024? You said that there are going to be consolidation a little bit, changing up some little stuff. Are you looking to possibly go into more products for the camping or overland community?
Absolutely. Yeah. Great question. So I think I covered that earlier in the podcast with some of the things that we're planning for next year. But we've also been chatting with some good brands that are putting out nice products on, like, hey, how do we collaborate? Like, you're already putting out a good product. We don't need to reinvent the wheel here. Like, let's collaborate. Let's give this product to our clients. And one of the recent ones was the truck beds, right? So these are made in Canada, out west in Chilliwack. I flew out there to meet our partner, and he's been fantastic. So more partnerships like that is what we're looking to do. So brands that are doing what they're doing well, just kind of expanding the reach. So we want to do more collaborations, more partnerships with brands that are in the same space. Yeah. The showrooms, I think, will be big. And the other thing that's going to be new for us is we're going to do Canada-wide shows. So we were really focused on Ontario shows before, and shows have been fantastic. If we're selling 15 tents in a weekend at a show, it's definitely worthwhile running that show, because people can come and see and touch and feel. And they're like, I didn't know if I was going to buy a rooftop tent.
Right.
Now I've decided. I've seen it. I felt it.
Yeah.
Climbed up. So we have some shows booked for next year out west. We're looking at a few out east. And yeah, we're just excited to meet more people. I try to go to as many as I can. Mm-hmm. The surprising thing to some people, I also work full time. And being a dad of two young boys, I gets quite busy.
Right.
But the good thing about shows on the weekends, so I can still go out and run the show with a few ambassadors, with a few staff, and really get to meet people and let them know what we're building here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that really will make it a lot easier for you guys. I know you guys have been hitting up the Overland North events and some other shows. You guys had some get-togethers in Ontario and that, but heading out to some of the Western shows definitely help you out on this market anyways, because going back to that whole, I can't fathom spending $3,000-$4,000 without looking at the product first, right? So being able to touch it and feel it, I think is a really good idea, and trying to expand out to there, because it just makes it easier to sell it.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there's some good, great shows all over Canada. You know, we've got the BC Overland Rally, and there's Alberta Outdoor Adventure Expo, yeah, and there's Overland North, and there's a rumor of an Overland show happening out on the East Coast. And
yeah,
there's other shows that I'm sure you're more aware of, camping shows and outdoor adventure shows. And that's trying to get into that market. Right. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, you covered some really good ones there. So yeah, lots of exciting things coming up next year, and we'll just keep plugging away. And yeah, we look forward to just another good growth year, hopefully. And we'll just keep chipping away at the community and providing some solid products and good pricing, and just continue to do what we're doing.
So speaking on that, what are the next events you guys are going to be at? People can maybe come out, check you guys out, check out some tents.
Yeah, for sure. So Overland North, this upcoming weekend, we will be there. I unfortunately will be in Tremblant, so I won't be there. But our good friend and ambassador, Matthew, also known as, I always get this wrong, Mohevister? On Instagram, the Gladiator.
The beautiful JT.
That is right. So he'll be running our booth. He's been fantastic, and he's out wheeling quite a bit, spreading the good word. So he'll be running our booth. We're trying a new show, and the name of it slipped my mind. I think it's like the Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show. That's October, mid-October. But if you follow us on Instagram, we'll be posting more details about that. We're just trying to get all of our details dialed in for that show. Okay. So that's the other one coming up in October, and we'll probably do a couple of meet and greets, a couple of quick coffee meets, hang out with some of our friends. So stay tuned for that as well. And then we're kind of quiet November, December, and then we're back into it early next year. We'll be announcing those shows soon as well.
Awesome. And over early next year, you'll see the Overland North chill out, or whatever they called it in February, right? So I assume that's going to be returning this year. It seemed to be really popular. So an overland event in the middle of winter in Ontario, which can be interesting, but it seemed to go over quite well. So
it's a real test of your gear when you're like that in Ontario winters. It gets pretty rough.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think the little meetup that you guys have done, from what I've been seeing over on this side of the country, have been going over quite popular, and it's nice to get out with some of your customers and just sit back and relax. And I'm sure there's shop talk, but there's a lot of non-shop talk at those events as well too, right? So
it's really nice seeing the clients and what they've built and their story, sort of, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, what's their next plan, and then seeing all the different types of vehicles, because overlanding doesn't discriminate on your vehicle. Obviously, the type of overlanding you're doing, if you're off-roading or rock crawling, you can't be doing that in a sedan. But we've seen our clients with everything from a Mazda 3 to a fully decked out Jeep on 40s, right? So that's really neat about those meet and greets. The people that pull up, you're like, wicked. Tell me about your rig. What's the vision for this thing? So yeah, really love those little meet and greets that we've been doing.
Do you want to give a shout out to some of your ambassadors?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm butchering the name. Mohevister on Instagram he's been with us probably since day one. Matt's super, super good guy. Love working with him. He's got a beautiful rig, always improving it, building it out. Another one, Bill, BJ, Xterra, I want to say _ Overland in Ontario. He's been awesome because he puts our gear to the test.
Yeah, he does.
Yep. Winter camping, rainstorm, hurricanes, right? Did you survive? Did the tent break? What happened? Right? So big shout out to him. He's fantastic. I've been out a couple times with him.
Yeah. Xterra _ Overland, guys.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. But we do have a few ambassadors across Canada. But being here in Ontario, I've kind of grown closer with a couple here. But I have such a long list. But I want to say those two guys are sort of the closest to day ones that I've had. So big shout out to them.
Yeah, awesome.
It was interesting. About 2 weeks ago, there was a question posted on the Overland Canada Facebook group about hard shell tents. And I don't know if you happen to see it or not, but there was a lady asking about, you know, that brand and your brand she mentioned, right? And she's like, it's a lot less than these other brands. And there's a few people that one of my friends included, but there's about three people or four people just chimed in, go overland, just go overland. You'll be happy with the money that you pay. And so a little bit less expensive, and they got the different options. And it was quite nice to see a Canadian company being pushed by people that are actually using it.
Yeah.
And I'm being recommended. So you do have a lot of good, happy followers.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to put our focus there, right? On them, on you guys, like on the people that are using the products from before. We try to educate them as best as possible. Obviously, don't push them into something that's not going to make sense. Like, we've had conversations where it's like, I don't think you're quite ready for a rooftop tent. Like, you're just starting to think about camping. Like, maybe, you know, maybe try something else or rent a tent from us. We can arrange something before going into a $3,000 product. But I think as our brand, we really focus on that whole client experience through and through, from the beginning to the purchase. We run it as a small business. We run into problems. We run into delays. We run into the Port of Vancouver strike, which I aged during that strike.
Get me started on that.
I had around 200 tents stuck. And I'm blasting these emails to all the clients like, guys, this is what's going on. You gotta hear me out. Here are your options. And out of those, I think we had one cancellation. And it's because I communicated over and over. I answered the emails. I answered the calls. Yep. My team was on it. And after sales service as well. Hey, I lost the poll. I got you. I'm shipping it out right now. Yep. Right. So I think that's a big part of building a small business and growing. And we're growing more and more. And that's always going to be core to our business. The users, it's their experience. And just to make sure they're happy.
You mentioned rentals, and that's something that did pop up. I was thinking about earlier, and I know there's some companies that do rent over rooftop tents across the country. There's a few different ones, but do you have somebody that you work with or partner with that does rentals?
Yeah. Great question. Yes. So shout out to our partners out in Vancouver, Pacific Backroader. We've got a lot more planned with them right now. They exclusively carry our gear or our tents. They have one on their rig, which I rented with my family and camped in for a week on Vancouver Island. It was my first time and my family and I had a great time. They have an Expedition Mini. They rent out the full rig, right? Full rig. So 4Runner, it's all built out. You got your kitchen. Everything you need is already done, which is great for anyone, especially that might fly out from all the way out east and want to do some camping there. And even me, I'd love to do a cross Canada trip, but the reality with two kids under 3 years old, that's a lot for them, right? One's still breastfeeding. It's a lot of stops and it'll take me 2 weeks to get across Canada. So good option there, but they'll be putting out some tent only options, rooftop tent only options. They currently rent out Jackeries out there. They rent out ground tents, other camping gear as well. It's a really cool concept. And then I'll have to get back to you because I have, I want to say three more. They're not official partners in the sense that we're not advertising them on our site, but they're purchasing our tents and they're renting the tents out in their respective provinces. So we've got a guy in Quebec. We have one guy that has two. I believe they're on Turo car sharing app. He's doing the car and the tent.
Yeah.
And then we have someone out east in Nova Scotia. I think they're on to their second tent as well. So renting out the tents.
I think that's a great idea because it gives people the option. Not everybody wants, like, if they're going to use a tent twice a year, why are they going out and spend $3,000 or $4,000, right? So if you can rent a tent for a week that you're going out and then you're done with it, I think it's a great idea for people that are not going out all the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or just test it out. Try before you buy it, right? It's another good way to do it. So yeah, definitely a great idea. We tried doing the tent rentals when we started the business and it was a lot of work for us. I mean, we were like, oh, okay, tent, install, uninstall, clean, vacuum, disinfect, do it again. Yeah. But we didn't have quite the right operation for it. So we leave it to the pros that have the right setups and the right space to be able to lift it instead of hand bombing a tent on a vehicle, right?
Yeah, because then you got to worry about racks and all that other stuff, right? The person has the right, you know, the capability to actually haul that tent, right? So, as well. So, Trisha looks deep in thought.
I am just making some notes of, I'm actually started following them. So I'm looking at their stuff too on Exclusive Outfitters.
Yeah. Really cool. Really, really, really nice couple that owns that company.
Yeah. It's not, I'm just thinking like, it's a great option because like, yeah, going like, I would love to do a trip across Canada. And at the end of the day, sometimes it's just like the wear and tear on your own vehicle possibly too. Like if you just want to do a short trip, like, you know, like I have family out in Vancouver. I'm like, hey, I'm going to fly out to Vancouver. I unfortunately can't bring my Jeep, can't drive it out. Can I rent a Jeep? Can I just go and, you know, wheel up there, have a roof tent and just go and explore that way and then come back to Toronto? So that option is pretty cool.
Yeah, check them out. I think they'd be a good option to have on your podcast as well. They have a cool story. They're up to 3 rigs now, fully kitted out, plus the gear that they're renting. And I believe they're adding 2 or 3 more rigs next year. So especially for the Ontario folks, Quebec, anyone out east, right? Maybe they're really looking forward to the FSRs in BC. But Trish, as you mentioned, maybe they don't want to drive all the way across. Maybe they only have a week vacation. They can't afford to drive across, right?
Right.
With limited time. So you fly there, you pick it up, smooth experience. You go out for a couple of rips, have a great time, come back. So,
So let's give them a shout out again. The company name is Pacific Back Rotors.
Yeah, that is correct.
I did look at their website the other day when we were doing some research and that. And yeah, check them out at their website. I think it's just pacificbackrotors.com. But they're also on Instagram as well, as Trisha mentioned. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leads us into our next question. One of the last questions we always ask our guests is, what Canadian would you like to listen to on a 4x4 Canada podcast? You mentioned them, Pacific Back Rotors. Who else of you would you like to hear on the show?
Ooh, this is a good one. But you've covered quite a few of them. I was just looking at your podcast. And how long ago did you interview Sean?
Sean was 5 episodes.
Okay. So yes. Like not that long ago, but I was like so psyched. I actually found out about that yesterday and I'm like, I gotta listen to this. Yeah, like that's incredible. And that's where I go back to that shout out to you guys for what you've done in the last year. He's the guy. He's the guy you want to listen to.
That was a lot of fun, that one, to be honest with you. That was he was relaxed and he was in the we were both in a good mood and we just it was a really good episode.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I might pop over to the gym after this and I'll put that on. It'll be a good time. But I would say, let's see. I want to say, I don't know if you guys have chatted with Anton. I don't believe you have. Anton at Miolli Gear. He does recovery gear. He's Canadian. Yeah, so I met him earlier this year at a meet and greet. He's putting out really good products. He's doing Canada and the US. Super nice guy. Beautiful red Jeep that he's building out. So I'd love to hear more about him on your podcast. You can probably go deeper into some questions and
He definitely, he does follow us. He actually just started following us this afternoon.
Oh, what?
the company one does, but he personally, I think after you posted the story, he saw that and we started. So I checked him out. I scoped him behind the scenes and so added them to the list for sure. So and that's one of the reasons we ask this question is because the community is so large. Like, you know, Trish and I know a lot of people through our own experiences and especially being in different provinces. But when we ask that question, a lot of times it's somebody that we've never heard about and it's like, oh, that would be wonderful, right? And we've gotten some great guests that way. It's been really interesting who people have mentioned over time because we obviously don't know everybody in the industry. So
exactly.
It's a great way to learn of other people for sure.
Absolutely. And I'll definitely be submitting some more. This was a fantastic opportunity. Thank you again. As the names come to mind, I'll probably send you a list.
Yeah,
some of
definitely.
Probably already met or have been chatting to, scheduling. But I'd gladly send that over to you guys.
Yep. And that goes to for our listeners. If you want to be a guest on our show, we do have a page on our website is something along the lines of want to be a guest or something like that. And there's a form there to fill out. Shoot that into us or shoot us a message on Instagram or email us our contact page on 4x4 Canada podcast. Or if you have somebody that you think would be a good guest, shoot us an Instagram message, shoot us an email, because we're always looking for more people. And yeah, it's really opened up our eyes, and I think a lot of our listeners' eyes, about all the different people from all over. And we've been really lucky. We've had basically everything from BC to Alberta, Saskatchewan. We haven't had any Manitoba guests yet. We've had a bunch of Ontario people. We've had a few. We've had two East Coasters, Moncton, New Brunswick, with Hub City Overlanding. His episode will have dropped by the time you hear this. And Roam Wild Overland, we did them on the East Coast as well too. But we're Quebec. We do have a gentleman that messaged us a while ago, and he wants to be on the show. He goes, "I don't know if everybody can understand me, but we'll see." Right? So he's actually, I believe he's in Africa right now and will be coming back shortly. And, but he's like, "Yeah, I want to be on the show." And so we're looking for more guests, especially from these other areas like Quebec, like Northwest Territories, Yukon, and, you know, other areas we have not talked to a lot of people. And a lot of people that we have talked to have been BC and Ontario, because that's where Trisha and I are based. And, right. So we've got those connections. So, and we've been to those shows and met people. Right. So, but it truly is a Canada-wide podcast, so we would love to hear from other people over in the area, and not just the overlanding genre. We've been really heavy on the overlanding genre lately, but we do have other guests coming up. 4x4 racing, we've got some monster truck drivers coming up. We've had a few monster truck drivers already, and we want to explore more into that area. So as much as we love overlanding, and
those are your roots, right? Your roots are from there.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. Is there anything that we missed?
Anything that we missed question-wise?
Or that you wanted to bring up, you know?
Oh, the only thing I wanted to bring up was going back to, just for the viewers and listeners who want to check out some more rigs and gear that some of friends of ours have with Goverland Canada, is Michael with Six Runner, and also Jason Opex Media have some rooftop tents they've been carrying for Goverland Canada. So check them out. Awesome rigs. And the 4Runner with the Lexus. So they're pretty cool. Definitely different rigs than, you know, the Jeeps and the Broncos, but they're running their tents as well. So pretty cool. Check them out.
Yeah, Michael, we did an episode with him, I guess a month or two ago. And that's a beautiful rig.
Yeah.
You know, that red 4Runner and 35s.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, I need everything about your rig. I love your rig.
I always wonder, like, what else can you be doing to this, right? Like, somehow he comes back with something new, and you're like, this thing is crazy. Yeah, he's playing 37s now.
Yeah, yes. 37s yeah. Now. Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do next with that thing. But he's a great dude. He shouted you guys out before we chatted, actually. He said, I had a great time. There's, you know, solid people there. And Jason Oblax Media, he's also been, another shout out to him, he's also been fantastic. He's come to some shows with us. The guy's videography, his photography is really beautiful. I think a lot of people take pride in, like, taking photos of their rigs and videos. And, like, that guy can run a master class on how to photograph your vehicle and make it look like the best vehicle there is. The video edits are incredible. So big shout out to Jason for he's also an ambassador of ours. He's run three of our tents now. I think the journey was a Journey X Expedition, and he's got a water tank. He's got the annex room. So he's the one
I checked out his tents. Those are the ones I checked out.
Yeah. He would have been running at the show at Overland North and Expedition XL, and then Matt Mohebster was running a Summit at the show, I believe. On the Bronco.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a long list of shout outs. I also want to shout out BK Overland Adventures. Have you guys chatted with them yet? They're also a great couple.
I've talked with her online a little bit via Facebook. I know they just had a great big trip down at the States and that. So 10 weeks. Definitely. I think they just got back not too long ago, I think, or on their way back anyway. So I definitely want to talk with them for sure.
Yeah. Brett and Castile, lovely. Been to a couple of events they've organized. Very fun. I took my mom out to one. And she had a blast. And I was at the next one. Where's your mom? Where's Vito's mom? So yeah, they're great. They have some awesome stories, and they also put their gear to the test. So they run Expedition XL on one of their vehicles and on the Gladiator, and they have a Journey X on her Rubicon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. I really want to thank you for taking time to talk with us tonight. And I know it's late over in Ontario land, and it's 7, so probably 10 o'clock over there. So really want to thank you for coming on board and talking with us tonight. We enjoyed it, and I know we learned a little bit, and hopefully our listeners learned a bit more about Go Overland. Once again, we're talking with Vito from Go Overland Canada, website, gooverlandcanada.com.
.ca.
Yeah. GoOverlandCanada.ca, and of course on Instagram and Facebook and all that other stuff as Go Overland Canada, one of the premier brands of rooftop tents and available in Canada. So we definitely love supporting Canadian companies, and want to thank you for coming on board.
Thank you, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm excited for everything else you'll be putting out this year and into next year. Thank you.
Thanks. We have some really cool plans coming up for the next year. We're going to hit more events in person and do some more videos. And we're going to do, we got some really cool plans coming up for next year. So we'll definitely see, Trisha will definitely see you at events in Ontario. Hopefully I'll see you in some events in Western Canada this year, and love to sit around and have a beer around the campfire
or the
drink of your pleasure, whatever that is. So awesome. Thanks for coming out, Vito. Trisha, it's always been a blast.
Yes, all the time.
And we will chat soon.